You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up, smoke was in our weather forecast today. We'll find out why and if it's going to stick around. First, this week, Congress is debating No Child Left Behind, the federal bill passed in 2001 as a reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. It increased the federal role in public education and led to an increase in testing in public schools nationwide. That bill was supposed to be revisited in 2007, but it hasn't been updated for almost a decade. Legislators are finally working at a new version that could make big changes to federal education policy. Updated versions are in both the House and the Senate. Here to explain these different versions of the bill and visions of education, how it could change things around the country, is Allison Klein. She's a reporter for Education Week and the co-author of the blog Politics K-12. Allison, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's get on the same page first. No Child Left Behind reauthorized the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, as we mentioned. What changed in national education policy when No Child Left Behind was signed into law back in 2002?
Well, a lot changed when No Child Left Behind was signed. First, while many states already had some sort of a system for rating schools and many states tested students, No Child Left Behind required every state to test their students, and it required every state to test them in grades 3 through 8 and once in high school in reading and math. It also required states to take action in schools that were not meeting achievement targets, which were just sort of goals that states set for student achievement. And schools that didn't meet these targets would have to let kids transfer to a better performing school. They had to offer free tutoring, or, if they really stayed, if they struggled for a really long time, they could even face state takeover. The problem was that the goals that No Child Left Behind set were really ambitious, and no state had all the schools meet those goals. So now, we're way past the deadline when all students were supposed to reach the proficiency level on state tests. That was supposed to be the 2013-14 school year. And the law is just really outdated and kind of a farce.
So why has it taken so long to get to where we are this week, taking a serious crack at revising it?
Well, that's mostly because Congress has just been very broken for the past, 8 years. We've had in 2007, it looked like there was going to be some action around reauthorization, and there was disagreement between Republicans who wanted, they wanted to have seats back then, some more school choice. The Bush administration at the time, George W. Bush, was worried that bills under consideration would weaken accountability, and the National Education Association was worried about a small provision that was in a long ago bill that would require teacher evaluation based on test scores if states wanted to get or districts wanted to get federal grants. So there were just like lots of disagreements in 2007 when it looked like things could happen, and then we just had this broke down, polarized Congress between 2008 and now.
And that takes us to now, the House, the Senate, each considering versions of this bill to change No Child Left Behind. First of all, are they on the same page, or are we having pretty different visions in each chamber?
So they're not totally on different pages. Basically, the House bill and the Senate bill would both roll back on accountability provisions in No Child Left Behind and return a lot of control to states. Both bills would keep those tests in place that I talked about, the tests in grades 3 through 8 and once in high school. And both bills would get rid of a provision in the Obama administration's waivers. Wisconsin is one of the states that has a waiver that requires states to evaluate teachers based on test scores. They're on the same page on things like that. The House bill goes a bit further in rolling back the federal role than the Senate bill does, and it allows money for disadvantaged kids to follow kids to a school of their choice. And I know school choice is a really big issue in Wisconsin with your Milwaukee voucher program. So in the House bill, you could use federal funds to help finance that program, and that wouldn't be an option under the Senate bill.
Now, testing, standardized testing under No Child Left Behind, has gotten protests from a lot of people across the political spectrum, really, and some districts have revolted to some extent over the years. Are we going to see any fewer tests as a result of the changes that that might happen here?
So that's a really good question. Right now, it doesn't look like there's going to be any real reduction in at least the number of tests that the federal government requires. So it would still be those tests in grades 3 through 8 and ones in high school in math and reading, plus science tests during certain grades. That wouldn't change. Both bills do include language encouraging states and districts to take a look at the number of tests they offer and maybe cut that back. And there is a movement afoot in the House, which we'll consider its bill tomorrow, to pass an amendment that would basically allow parents to opt their children out of standardized tests without any problem or any blowback on the school. Right now, schools that have a lot of kids opting out face federal sanctions, and under this amendment, that wouldn't be the case anymore.
We're talking to Allison Klein with Education Week, looking at the No Child Left Behind Act, passed 13 years ago, getting an overdue look from Congress, supposed to be reviewed in 2007. Both chambers now reviewing different plans to change No Child Left Behind. You can join in with your thoughts and your questions, by the way, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. So in the Senate, is there anything unique on the Senate side that isn't in the House side that they're looking to change in No Child Left Behind?
Sure. Well, the Senate would include a new program to help states improve their preschool programs. That's sort of the most interesting difference between the House and the Senate bill in terms of something that's new. The Senate bill also continues funding for a lot of programs like after-school programs that the House would need to cut.
And let's get to the accountability issue. You touched on that a little bit. How much of a sticking point do you think that's going to be? If accountability is relaxed in any way, are there going to be people in the Senate, in the House, who push back?
Well, so both bills would relax accountability considerably, at least in terms of the federal law. So states would really have to be the ones to step up and decide if they want to do accountability themselves. The federal government wouldn't be making them anymore. That is the administration's biggest beef with both the House and Senate bill. So the administration is hoping that there will be changes to the Senate bill that would require states to identify their lowest performing schools, schools with really big achievement gaps, and schools with lots of kids dropping out, which the administration calls dropout factory, and then do something about those schools, try to help them turn around, help them succeed. Right now, the Obama administration's waivers require states to take those kinds of actions, but there aren't very many explicit provisions in the Senate bill that would allow for that. I think the administration would love to see the House pass language like that too, but that's a tall order with a Republican-controlled House.
And at different points along No Child Left Behind, and as some states have implemented it, the idea was that schools in that situation, high dropout rates, underperforming schools, would in some ways be punished and maybe changes required or more flexibility being given to students to get out of those schools. Are we still thinking along those lines in what's being reviewed this week?
So the House bill, as we talked about already, includes a provision that would allow federal money for low-income kids, that's a program called Title I, to follow kids to the school of their choice. But both of the bills would drop a requirement that calls for schools to allow kids that are stuck in schools that aren't meeting achievement targets to transfer to a better-performing school. That's actually not as big a deal as it sounds like it is, because that requirement was already dropped under the Obama administration's waivers, which are in place in most states, including Wisconsin. So it's not, I guess, the bombshell that it would have been before the waivers came along.
We're talking to Allison Klein from Education Week, looking at updated versions of No Child Left Behind in the U.S. Senate and the House, how these new versions of the bill could change education policy in the United States. We want to hear from you on this. How would you like to see No Child Left Behind changed? What do you think could be done to make public education more effective in the U.S.? If you've been involved in the schools, as a teacher, as a parent, as a community member, maybe somebody on the school board, how do you see No Child Left Behind affecting your school in the long run and in recent years? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue this conversation after a look at the latest news with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our discussion about updates to No Child Left Behind, the federal education law. The Senate and the House are looking at revisions to No Child Left Behind this week. Allison Klein is with us. She's a reporter for Education Week. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the impact of No Child Left Behind? Teachers, how did this legislation change things in your classroom? What do you think needs to change? What questions do you have about what's at stake here? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to a caller. We've got Kurt on the line in Milton. Kurt, hi.
Hello. My comment is, for years, it seems like I've heard from teachers, and I know a good number of them, and my parents were both elementary school teachers, and from school board staff that continually says that we have these wasteful spending required by No Child Left Behind. Things like kids who are, you know, troubled or not going to make it in the world, receiving, you know, one-on-one support, very expensive programs that my parents and teachers at NOLM have said are just, you know, taking resources away from normal education.
Kurt, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Allison, is this a common complaint from schools that this is requiring a lot of unnecessary spending? No Child Left Behind is.
So that's a really good question. As I mentioned before, No Child Left Behind required schools that didn't make progress for 3 years in a row to offer free tutoring, which is what I think the caller was referring to, these sort of expensive one-on-one services. And a lot of these tutoring programs were really ineffective. We don't actually need a reauthorization of No Child Left Behind to change that, because that was already changed under the Obama administration's waivers. So right now, most states don't have to set aside money for tutoring. But states that don't have waivers, and there are eight of them out there, including Iowa, California, some other big states, you know, they do have to continue to set aside those funds. So obviously this is a really big issue for them, but not necessarily for Wisconsin.
Thanks a lot for the call, Kurt. Another issue that's come up, funding for rural school districts. Advocates for those districts say current funding formulas shortchange rural schools. This is an issue in our complicated funding formula here in Wisconsin as well. Is that something on the table here, Allison?
Yes. Senator Burr is expected to try to push for changes to the funding formula for Title I, which is the formula that governs money for disadvantaged students. And it does, in some cases, shortchange rural schools because it's based on population density. It's been really hard to change the Title I formula because, you know, every lawmaker kind of has a stake in it, and Congress doesn't really have any extra money to kind of gradually shift money from one state or district and bring it to another. So we'll have to see how all that turns out.
Back to our callers now with Stephanie in Moline, Illinois. Stephanie, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Stephanie?
I am a school administrator in Moline, Illinois. I'm the director of ESL and bilingual services. We are very fortunate in our district to have 800 English language learners. But under the testing requirements of No Child Left Behind, they are supposed to be reading at grade level after 1 year of schooling in the United States in English. We are not failing our kids. It takes between 3 and 8 years, depending on former schooling, for somebody to read and write and be academically at grade level. And my students are not failing, and neither are my teachers.
Stephanie, thanks a lot for the call. This has been a complaint about No Child Left Behind, I think, since the beginning, Allison, that these expectations are there for performance from students who, for a variety of reasons, including they're just now learning English, it's a tall order to get them there.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been something that states and school administrators, like the caller, have been worried about. And it's been an issue with some amendments offered to these bills to try to change that, and we'll just have to see what comes out in the final version. Meanwhile, I mentioned those waivers. A couple of states, including Florida, especially Florida, have already gotten some flexibility in this area. So we'll see if more states do, and if this eventual federal law, a new law, would allow for more flexibility there.
Now, one issue I understand has come in and out in amendment form is provisions related to bullying in the No Child Left Behind Act. What's the story there?
So Senator Al Franken and Senator Bob Casey have been working on amendments that deal with bullying of lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgender students. It's obviously kind of a hot topic right now, given what the Supreme Court just decided on same-sex marriage. So sounds like they're going to offer something during consideration of this bill. And we'll see if that ends up being a really divisive issue on the floor.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, Congress has had a hard time tackling not just education, but a number of issues. It's a contentious time in Congress, same as always lately, it seems like. What are the prospects for successful passage of a bill that's going to pass the Senate and the House and then get signed by the president?
So it's really hard to say, right? It's I've talked to some folks who put the chances at about 50-50. Some people who are more optimistic and would say, 60-40. So I would say the safe thing to say is that we have the best shot that we've had since 2007 when this law was up for reauthorization, but it's really far from a slam dunk.
And what's the timeline now? I know this is being considered in the Senate and in the House. Do they have plans for when it moves out of committee, when it gets a vote in the full chambers?
Well, so it actually has already moved out of committee. It is getting a vote in the full chambers right now. It's scheduled to go to the House floor tomorrow, and Senate started debate today. So we will just have to see. The House should be able to finish the bill tomorrow because they already started on it back in February and had to pull it temporarily due to conservative opposition. But apparently those issues have been taken care of, and it's expected to pass. And it should be off the Senate floor by early next week. That's when the leaders, the sponsors of the bill, have said that they'll get it off the Senate floor. So that's basically the state of play as of right now.
Allison, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me.
That was Allison Klein, reporter for Education Week and co-author of the blog Politics K-12. She was with us to talk about the updated versions of No Child Left Behind being debated in the U.S. House and Senate this week.